Bob Herrig is joining us now on the line. He, of course, writes for ESPN.com and joins us live from Akron, Ohio, where the final WGC event of the season is going on right now at Firestone, the Bridgestone Invitational. Bob, good morning to you. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us today.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hey, Bob.
We're doing great, and let's start you off right with the question that we were asking ourselves just a couple of minutes ago. If Kenny Perry should win next week at the PGA Championship, who is your player of the year?
Wow, that is a good one. I would think that even if he wins the PGA, he probably would have to also win the FedEx Cup for me to think that he is the player of the year, simply because even though Tiger only played in six tournaments, I mean, what he did in those six tournaments is just, you know, it's just very, very hard to get past that. Kenny Perry's victories have been in lesser events except for the Memorial. And of course, I would think that him not playing in three majors, I mean, this is his first world event, too, this week. You know, and on the one hand, it's remarkable what he's done, not having played any majors in any world events. But on the other hand, he hasn't put himself against the best players every week either. So it's a great debate, but I would say that he would, in my mind, would have to do more than win the PGA to get Player of the Year.
Let me ask you this, Bob. If Trevor Immelman or Padraig Harrington somehow win next week, and Immelman has really done nothing since the Masters, and say they don't do anything else, but they win that second major, do you give them any Player of the Year points?
Yeah, it's winning two majors is a big deal. In the same year, I mean, it just doesn't happen, except for Tiger. There have been instances where, several years ago when Marco Mira won two majors, but David Duval had won four times and won the money title, Marco Mira was Player of the Year. I mean, there's a lot of weight with the majors. I would think it would be more weighted toward Harrington, though, than Immelman, because as you said, Immelman hasn't really done much. He had a poor start to the year. He came out of nowhere to win the Masters. He did have a good tournament in Memphis before the U.S. Open, but really hasn't done that much. I mean, he did have a good second round here. I think in both cases, they probably got to make a little bit of a run in those FedEx Cup events as well.
Bob Herrig is a senior writer for ESPN.com. He's joining us here on the line live from Akron, Ohio for the World Golf Championships Bridgestone Invitational. Final round is now ongoing up there at Firestone Country Club. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. Bob, in regards to this tournament, you know, great-looking leaderboard after three rounds of play. Three-way tie for the top spot. And we talked about it earlier during the show, three men who have never won a WGC, Lee Westwood, Vijay Singh, and Phil Mickelson. It's hard to believe that Vijay nor Phil have ever won a WGC now in its 10th year of existence. But for my money, through three rounds of play, Westwood has looked the most solid to me of those three men.
No question. He's much more consistent and, you know, isn't having the ups and downs. And, you know, Phil was all over the place yesterday. And Vijay, you know, missed some short putts. That's a little, that's an uneasy feeling, you know, when you see a guy miss putts that he should make. You wonder if that creeps into his mind. And, of course, you know, putting has been sort of an issue for him this year. But Westwood's been knocking on the door all year. I mean, he missed the playoff at the U.S. Open by one shot. He's been very good. It just hasn't won. And as you mentioned, to think that these guys, especially Vijay and Phil, have never won a world event is just, given all their success and their number of victories, and not one of them has been one of these tournaments, it's I don't know if that's a fluke or if that says something about them, but it is pretty amazing.
Bob, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Lee. This guy, Russ and I talked about this earlier in the show, he really fell off the face of the earth for a couple years there, just wasn't playing well at all. Comes back this year really in shape, noticeably thinner, seems to have a different demeanor about him. What do you think has clicked in with him that, I hate to say he's taking the game more seriously, but he definitely has a different approach, and it seems to be working.
He's talked about that, the fitness angle. I mean, he's talked about saying, you know, I wish I would have started doing this earlier. He's hitting the ball farther. He's probably in a better mental state because he feels better physically. The way the schedule is these days, these top guys play a lot of events close together now, And it really requires that you you have some stamina, and you bet just 2 weeks ago they were battling those brutal conditions at the British Open. Now they're in 80% humidity. Next week another major. There's a lot of big events going on close together, and I think as you mentioned, that fitness thing has really helped Westwood.
Bob Herrig, a senior golf writer for ESPN.com, joining us here on the line live from Akron, Ohio. The final round of the WGC Bridgestone Invitational ongoing this morning at Firestone Country Club. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. Bob, last thought on a WGC, and then I want to get your quick thoughts on Michelle Wee. Phil Mickelson, you had a great piece on ESPN.com a couple days ago regarding Phil, and the thought that with Tiger out for the rest of the year, we were looking at Phil primarily to be that guy that took advantage of it and made some noise while number one was away, but it doesn't seem like Phil is doing that. And throughout his career, he's been an early season guy. More than half of his wins, I think, have come in the first 3 or 4 months of the year. He's a West Coast guy. He loves the California swing and all that stuff, but he's never won a WGC. He's also never won a PGA Tour money title. He was never voted player of the year by his peers, and he never captured the Vardin Trophy for low scoring average, all those points you made in your article. Phil Mickelson is a guy who's an all-timer. He could be a top 10, top 15 player all time when it's all said and done, but yet I don't think we consider him that way. Why do you think, is it just because Tiger Woods plays in the same era? Is that the only reason that Phil is not amassing more victories in greater numbers than he is?
Well, there's no question he would be viewed differently if there was no Tiger. I mean, if he had the same number of wins in majors right now with no Tiger, there's not that many guys out there who have three majors and 34 wins. I mean, there's nobody active who has those kind of totals. So there's no question we'd be looking at him differently. Has Tiger denied him a lot? I don't think so. I mean, the interesting thing is Phil hasn't really finished second to Tiger that many times, and also it isn't like Phil's been finishing second to Tiger on the money list every year. Some of the money list is just it's a matter of if you really want to go after that. Phil had a money title snatched away from him before Tiger was a factor back in '96. I just think it's more interesting that he's never won low stroke average. He's never made it to number one in the world, which is another thing.
Right.
I mean, there have been a couple guys that have been number one in the Tiger era. David Duval, Vijay, of course.
Ernie Els.
Ernie, early, way back, but not Phil. And yet, today we pretty much think of Phil as the next best guy to Tiger, but there's all these things out there that he's never done. And this is a great time to do it. I mean, I just think it would be kind of strange if his career ended and he never won a money title, or he was never player of the year, or never won the Vardin Trophy. I mean, I just think that would be, even without Tiger around, I think people wouldn't put an asterisk by it. I think they'd forget about that years down the road.
I agree with you. I think Phil Mickelson is a much better player than he gets a lot of credit for, and I think primarily it's because he's never accomplished some of these things. And we're talking with Bob Herrig from ESPN.com. He's live in Akron, Ohio this weekend for the Bridgestone Invitational, final WGC of the year. And before we let you go, Bob, got to ask you about Michelle Wee. Obviously, again, for the eighth time in her career, she teed it up against the men and did not make the cut there at the Reno Tahoe Open, and she looked very bad on Friday. After a really respectable one over par 73 on Thursday, she shoots 80 on Friday, misses the cut by a handful of shots. What are your thoughts on Michelle Wee in this latest chapter in her ongoing saga of taking on the men?
Well, there's two sides to this whole thing. On her side, I thought it was disappointing that she accepted the invite. She'd been making great strides lately. She'd kind of gotten past this whole thing about playing against men. She's recovered from her injuries. She qualified for the U.S. Women's Open, which was a nice sign, although she missed the cut. She was in contention at that tournament in Springfield, Illinois, where she, of course, had the scorecard issue. But, I mean, she was going to be right there and make a big check. Her game has shown great strides. She's showing the talent that has put her in this position. And then to go play in the men's event again after all the negativity about her doing that was just disappointing. The other side of it, though, is here we are talking about her. Here we are talking about Reno. The event did what it felt it had to do to generate some discussion and some publicity, and I don't blame them at all for that. You know, anybody with a pulse on, who has got any kind of PGA Tour status could have gotten into that tournament. She wasn't really denying anybody a spot. But you know, these tournaments are the ones paying the bills, so I don't have a problem with them. It's just too bad she took them up on it at this stage because, you know, she'd be better off, in my mind, if she went and played on the Futures Tour, which is the, you know, the developmental tour for the LPGA Tour. And just go out there, and yeah, you're better than everybody. You're supposed to win. The money is nothing. But just go out there and win or be in contention a lot and give yourself that feeling. I just don't see how, you know, playing a long golf course against men, having no chance to win, really having an outside chance of making the cut, how that is helping you. It just doesn't seem to me that, you know, that's not the kind of golf course she's going to play against the women. There's just so many negatives about it, and I just hope she gets going back against the women here, and I think she's still got a great chance to be a phenomenal player in women's golf.
Where do you think she ends up, Bob? I mean, do you think, you know, we continue to see the improvement, as you mentioned, that we saw this year up till really, in my opinion, this week? Or do you think she keeps falling back on the easy, you know, sponsors exemptions to be the circus sideshow for some of this stuff? Do you think we get a break from this at some point and you see some consistency in what she plays in and how she plays? Or is this going to be the ongoing saga until, you know, in my opinion, her career would flame out?
Well, she needs to start playing somewhere consistently. And she doesn't have as she's not a member of the LPGA Tour, so she can she can only take so many sponsors exemptions. So she can't develop any consistency out there unless she becomes a member, and obviously she'd have to get her card, which she would have pretty much all but done had she not been disqualified from that event. She's only got one more LPGA event this year. If she doesn't finish in the top 90 on the money list, she's going to have to go to Q school. I would hope she goes to Q school and gets her card and plays a consistent schedule next year. I know there's that whole issue of she's going to Stanford, you know, which muddies the waters a little bit. I mean, I think it's hard to be a professional golfer when you're going to college, you know, and I'm not saying she shouldn't go to college, but if she's going to do that, it's going to make it a lot harder for her to develop consistency. And short of the LPGA, as I was mentioning, I think she should play the Futures Tour and play. She needs to play tournaments and not be, you know, playing once a month. And, you know, sometimes it's against the men, sometimes it's in Europe, sometimes it's on the LPGA. You know, I think she needs a schedule where she gets into a routine, plays a couple weeks in a row, then has a week of practice, and then comes back. But as you said, if she keeps going to this route of taking these sponsors exemptions on the men's tour, I mean, the negativity surrounding that was really big this time.
Yes.
And it's only going to get worse.
You're exactly right, Bob. Annika Sorenstam, Helen Alfredson, Paula Kramer, they really had some real rough criticism of Michelle Wee this time. It seems like every other time, the next time she plays against the men, it's worse and worse for the LPGA Tour pros because it seems like they feel snubbed. So we'll continue to watch this. Of course, it's a story that has a lot of legs. She will tee it up, as you mentioned, for the final time on the LPGA Tour this year, 2 weeks from now in Canada at the Canadian Women's Open. And if she doesn't finish high enough, as you said, she will have to go to Q school for the LPGA. He is Bob Harry, golf writer for ESPN.com. You can read all of his stuff day in, day out on .com. And you and Jason Sobel do a fabulous job on ESPN.com. You also have some stuff from some Golf World guys on there periodically, Ron Syrak and John Antonini. Bob, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to possibly talking to you again in the future.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, thank you. Bob. There he is, Bob Herrig, senior writer for ESPN.com.